Yeah, it's your boy, Malcolm Riddle, a.k.a. American Riddle, coming at you. We got my man Will Blagrove calling in. That's right. Will's he's an actor. You may have seen him in several commercials, the KFC, the Ford commercial. He's done a handful of movies, TV shows. We're going to run it down, his career, where he's at, where he's going, where he's been, the whole nine. So that's coming up next on American Riddle.
Mic check, mic check, 1, 2, microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
That's what's up, my man Will.
Hello.
All right, so yeah, we're gonna bleed right into it. Cool. Welcome, Will Blagrove. Is that how you pronounce your name?
It's almost like there's a Y in it, so Blagrove.
Blagrove. I remember I met you almost a year ago. And we were doing I volunteer for a film festival, as you know, where I help out with programming and various things. And you were in a film that we featured at the Washington West Film Festival.
Exactly, yeah.
Called The Good River.
Yep, yep.
You were like Django up in that camp.
I was the Django before the Django.
That's right. You were a slave on the run.
I was the post-Glory Denzel, pre-Jamie Django.
You know, it's funny you said that, because the whole time I was there, I was nervous. I was really nervous because that was my first time working with the film festival in that role, as far as part of the programming team, and being, and I was nervous. Just because I knew there was going to be a Q&A. And whenever I've done enough events that people usually start off slow. And that's exactly what happened. When the film The Good River finished, we brought you, the director. Was it, some of the cast was there as well, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And what happened was... it was a quiet audience, I remember. I remember I kept looking over at you, and I was like trying to pronounce your name. I was like, oh my God, how do I pronounce this guy's last name, right? And I was a little nervous, but all of a sudden, I think it was just quiet in the room, and I remember we opened the mic up to you, and you just lit that room up. Very charismatic. I remember just thinking, I was like, wow, this guy just saved the Q&A. Because you thrive, you live for the crowd.
Yeah, I guess I do. I guess I do. It's so funny you say that, too, because, you know, I get the same nerves when I do these Q&As. And I've done a lot of Q&As at this point in my career. But, like, still, you know, you just never know. I mean, it's like being on stage doing a play. You don't know how the crowd is going to be. You just never know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were great. I mean, I would have never known it was the first year, because you just had a way about you that seemed like, you know, this is what you do.
I do a lot of events, like I said, more in, and I've talked about this on my podcast about the wine events that I've done. So I'm used to working a room and working a crowd. But when I deal with people that I don't know, you know, there's always that bundle of nerves that you get.
Right. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know what the wine events are like as far as occupancy, but this is we had a pretty decent packed house, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Regardless, we're in a theater, With that comes a little bit of a larger, you know, scale of like public speaking, I guess you would say. So I felt like you handled it great.
Yeah, thank you. But like I said, and back to what I was saying was, when I saw that energy, you reminded me, and I still describe you, when I talk to people about you, I still describe you as the 1981 version of Denzel Washington when he made his premiere in a movie called Carbon Copy with George Segal. It was a movie I saw when I was a child, and very clean cut brother, very charismatic, very sharp. And I always say when I describe you, I'm like, this dude has it. He reminds me of Denzel when he first dropped. And he just, as you know, as history dictates, you know, Denzel blew the hell up.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, that's that, yeah, yeah, that's what I see for you. Like, you seem very busy and very focused.
Oh man, you got to be. You have to be. I mean, yeah. I mean, not just only to I feel like to get farther, but just to what's the saying that most people at a, you know, at a successful level are always afraid of? Staying successful.
Yeah.
You know, that's the tough part. And yeah, man, staying focused is key. And Denzel is definitely one of my favorite actors. I mean, if not my favorite actor, probably. I think I've always said, like, when people ask me who's my favorite actor, it's a combination of Denzel and Will Smith.
And that's funny because that's how I describe you. I swear to God. When I describe you to anyone here on the East, I'd be like, that brother, he's like the combination of Denzel and Will Smith. And this leads me to, after I met you at the film festival, you know, we hit it off. We had a couple conversations. We hung out for a couple drinks. And then I had an event. I told you I'd be out in L.A. I had a wine event that I managed to put together. And you were top of my list. I was like, I've got to have somebody that can, you know, can rock the crowd. Mm-hmm. Remember mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun too, man. That was for Adam Carolla, right? His new wine, Mangria.
Yeah, you remember that, huh?
Oh yeah, it was a blast, and people loved the wine. That was another thing.
So, and what one of the things I like really loved about that, I like the bonding between people that you just meet and you just feel that vibe and you hit it off. And you have that. That East Coast vibe. Like, I could just pick up the phone, give you a call, be like, yo, I'm in town, let's hook up. And you've done that. You said, yeah, let's meet up for lunch one time I was in LA. Then I said I'd be back for the wine event. Boom, I hit you up, and you were just, you were down.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You know, you're a good guy, too. You know, like, good peeps, you got to connect with good peeps, man, wherever you are.
You're out in Hollywood, you're making movies, you're making moves, and you're still grounded. How do you do that?
It, you know, treat it like day one. I mean, day one. Like, I act like I haven't done nothing. That's really, I think, you know, I've been, because, you know, I've been trying to figure it out myself. Like, right now is probably the busiest time ever in my career. I've never had so many different projects all at one time, you know, sort of releasing. And so I'm experiencing, you know, what that's like and like how you handle all of that. And, you know, there's times where I got to stop, slow things down because the train is moving so fast. And I like to reflect on, like, how the heck did I get here? Like, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why now? Right. And all I can come up with, because everybody in my industry never can figure it out, you know, is I treat it like it's my first day on the job. And when I treat it that way, man, I'm just golden. I'm on fire. You know, I mean, it's kind of crazy because in my industry as an actor, you have to constantly obviously be selling yourself, but you have to constantly, like, you can't forget everything you've done. You know, you've got that elevator pitch when you meet somebody in the first 11 seconds where they want to know where you've been, where you come from, and where you're going. All in 11 seconds, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you treat it like it's day one, you naturally forget it all because you're trying to forget it all. So A, it doesn't go to your head. And B, you can always be constantly moving on to the next one and not dwelling on stuff. But, you know, like I said, there's times when things are just kind of crazy. And I just I stop, I reflect, I look at, like, all right, what am I doing that's getting me this far? And I think ultimately it's I act like I ain't got nothing. And that makes you work harder because everybody, Malcolm, when they have nothing, works their hardest because they want something. They're trying to get somewhere. Everyone. And that's not just an actor thing. That's a life lesson right there. When you are on day one, when you got before you even got that job, where you were trying to get that job, you were doing your best that you could because you didn't have anything. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think that mentality really produces success if you can keep that in your mind, you know, even when you become successful.
Yeah, no, I agree. The just that on that very point, I mean, you have a ton of stuff going on. I'm looking at your IMDb right now, and it's filled. Like, I'm like, this brother is out there killing it. And the stuff that you're getting, you're on social media, and the stuff that you're posting, you know, it counts. Like, you're posting jobs, everything that you're in. It's amazing. Like, give us a rundown on what you're into. I know you recently you've been doing some video games.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about the new one that's going to drop. So, let's see. The first one was I did Grand Theft Auto 5. I don't even remember what character I'm in that game, but I'm probably like some random various voices in that. And that just dropped last month. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, but it was like they made like $1 billion in 2 days.
Charlie Murphy's in that too.
Charlie Murphy's in that?
I'm pretty sure Charlie Murphy, because I was listening to his podcast and he mentioned that he has a role in that. And I just recently bought that. My son and I were playing it, and it's pretty graphic.
Yeah, man. I mean, I used to always play a cop in the old Grand Theft Auto games.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd be like, you know, it depends on what city it is. But, you know, say, like, I think I did a New York cop once, because I'm from New York, by the way. Born and raised in Jamaica, Queens, New York. And
Queens in the house.
Queens, holla. And I played like a New York City cop. Pull over right now.
Yeah,
you know, all of those kind of various sounds. And so I think sometimes they just use old sounds I've done in the newer games. And then I also recorded Grand Theft Auto like a year ago. But the video game that I'm really excited about is NBA 2K 2014. Woohoo! Can't wait. So I played Jaxson Ellis, and he is the rival in the My Player mode of NBA 2K. It's the second edition version of NBA 2K. It drops November 15th on PS4 and November 22nd on Xbox One. Now, this is a big deal for NBA 2K because, A, it's the second generation version, so the graphics are supposed to be just 10 times better than the first edition. And second, this is also going to be the first games for NBA 2K through these new systems, because PS4 hasn't come out yet and Xbox One hasn't come out yet. So there's a lot of fans that are really like heavily anticipating this release, because not only is it a new game, not only is it a new edition, but it's an entire new system of graphics.
What's it like? What's it like going through and being an actor on that? Because I think you posted some pictures. And yeah. I've seen stuff like, you know, in movies, you know, like Lord of the Rings, where they have to wear a suit with lights and sensors and stuff like that. Did you have to get into all that?
Right. Yeah. And now, you know, I'm able to like promote it now, thankfully. So, because they're like really, really hush hush about it, which I understand. But ultimately, it's really intense. It's honestly, it's like shooting a movie and doing a play at the same time. We had, I think my first day of shooting, I had, what was it, like a 50-page script? Like, and it's all memorized. It's not, like, this isn't like, you know, you're reading in a studio with a microphone. You are strapped with a camera headset. It's like Avatar. You ever seen those, like, behind the scenes where they have the camera headset with the camera, and the camera's, like, literally in front of your face? And then there's a microphone attached to you. You're wearing a tight ass bodysuit. God damn. Jones tight. Brother like me, don't be wearing a bodysuit like that. But no, it was cool. And it was a great experience, man. Like I said, it was really intense. And it was like shooting a film. You know, we did, like, I think I did total 75 pages from the script. We, you know, there's some intense scenes. And when you're playing in the My Player mode, you get to go head to head with the rival named Jaxson Ellis. So fans can stay tuned about what that's going to be like.
Jaxson Ellis. That sounds like that could spin off into a movie.
I hope so. Your words to God's ears.
That's amazing. So how do you even hook up with something like that? Like, let's say if somebody wants to, let's say if some, there's some listeners out there that want to get into that. Like, how do you even go about like auditioning for a role like that?
That's a great question. Okay. So ultimately you got to get an agent. And to get an agent, I mean, I took a lot of voice classes, so that really helped. You know, granted, I like I said, I've done a lot of voiceovers and video games. I'm also the voice of Fuse Music Channel, so I have a lot of experience doing different kinds of voice. I'm on a cartoon right now as well, and that kind of gave sort of not only my agent but the video game world people that confidence that I could handle motion capture work. Because that's what this is. This is not just in the studio recording a voice. This is what they call motion capture work, where you're literally on set using both your voice, your face, everything. And if anybody really wants to get into that, I highly recommend two schools out here in LA. They're called Kalmanson and Kalmanson, or Carol Day Kimball Casting. She does some voice classes. East Coast, there's a studio called Shut Up and Talk in New York. But there's a lot of studios all around the country where people can learn more about how to do voiceovers. And I think that's the best place to start. And, the next level is really taking an acting class because, like I said, motion capture is both voice and on-camera acting.
And what type of acting classes have you taken? I think you and I in conversation said you did improv and mm-hmm. a few other things. What's your background?
Well, my formally trained background is actually the Meisner technique. I studied in an actual acting conservatory in New York City with Bill Esper. He is Sanford Meisner's protege. And if anybody knows anything about the craft of acting, Sanford Meisner was one of the great acting teachers of our time. And Bill Esper was his sort of apprentice and became this protege for Sanford that really took over. And in New York, he's a really renowned acting teacher. I highly recommend him. He totally changed the game for me. In L.A., I studied at the Groundlings Theater Company. Now, that's a huge improv school. Usually, people graduate from there and go on to places like SNL. Like, one of the characters on SNL right now was at Groundlings when I was there. His name is Killian. I can't remember his last name, but he's in that new movie with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock. You see that?
The Heat.
Yeah, he plays like one of the cops that's always trying to, you know, come after. He has a really great role in that movie, as a matter of fact. He ends up, well, I don't want to kill it for the fans, but yeah, he's got a great role in it. His name is like Killian Lutz, I think. He studied the Groundlings, and he's on SNL right now. Taron Killam.
Yeah.
I can't remember that.
No, I pulled it up on the computer.
Nice. Gotta love technology, man.
You love it, yeah. So yeah, you've hit it hard as far as your background. I mean, you're legitimate. You're the real deal.
Thanks, man. I mean, I'm grinding, dude.
It's amazing. Just like I said before, you don't come off, especially where you live, because there are a lot of pitfalls. You live in Hollywood, okay? You're right in the center of where it happens, you know? Because, I go out there and I spend a lot of time in Hollywood. And there are a lot of things you could get into as far as the nightlife, the partying, drinking, drugs. I mean, the whole nine. We've heard the stories. We've read about them. They've made movies about them. How do you maneuver around, through, and away from stuff like that?
Wow, that is a good question. I remember when I first moved here, I was just like, yeah, I was like, I wonder how I'm going to do this or if I'm going to get caught up. You know what I mean? You know,
it's the real deal out there. I mean, it's very addicting. And I've expressed to you my interest in coming out west. And your answer is always the same. Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Okay, so, you know, honestly, I guess growing up in New York, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff, man. And, you know, definitely you know, moving to L.A. or just, yeah, L.A., I definitely was a little, you know, nervous. I was like, OK, what am I getting into? It's another part of the country. You hear a lot of stories, yada, yada, yada. You know, my thing is, you know, I just stay focused on my goal. I mean, when I was a kid, man, my mom would always be like, what's the plan for today? What's the goal? What's your goal? What are you up to? What's next? You know, she would always be like on me about that. And I remember when I was a kid, I was like, God damn, give it a rest. You know? But as I grew up, I realized how important that was, because when you stay focused on your goal, I mean, yeah, it's easy to get, you know, thrown off track. But I'm just really all about like progress, man, and getting things done. And, you know, also my support group. I got some good friends out here, a lot of them from the East Coast when I look around, that I've just kept in touch with over the years. So when I moved out here, you know, that was good. You know, like I said, just having a good support group, good friends. I have like one cousin out here, and then we hang out, but not much family.
Yeah, that's important. That's important because I've heard from other people that have moved out there, they do the same thing. They find a small group, and that's who they stick with, because there are a lot of, as they say, there's a lot of phonies out there. Everybody wants to be something more than who they are, and they kind of lose their way because they're not grounded. And that being said, like Joe Rogan, he's a popular podcaster and actor that you may know from Fear Factor and the MMA fights. He always talks about how he's got people who are more real, always having real people and authentic people around. And it's a small group out in L.A.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, not to say anything bad about Cali, because the flip side is, when I moved here, I was definitely, you know, a little reserved. I was like, okay, you know, anybody got me from L.A., stay away.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, a lot of times on the East Coast, everybody's telling you everybody's fake in L.A. And then I would meet a lot of natives that were just real, genuine people, people who didn't have anything to do with the biz, Malcolm. Like, I met so many people when I moved out here that were like, yeah, I don't deal with that acting stuff. And it would always throw me off guard because, you know, granted, living in Hollywood, yeah, your cleaners has headshots on the wall. Your local, you know, restaurant, deli, whatever, headshots on the wall, you know. So, yeah, you expect everyone to be somehow involved in it. But there's a lot of people that, you know, drive up from the Bay Area. I mean, not from the Bay Area, the like South Side, Reseda, whatever, the East LA. And, you know, they're good. There are better jobs in the city. So they come out here to work, but then they go back home, you know, to their suburban neighborhoods. And they don't really care about Hollywood. I mean, I think everybody is a little impressed if you see Tom Cruise walk into your grocery store. You know, like, I think that's definitely going to make anybody be like, oh, snap, okay, cool. Yeah, I've watched all your movies growing up.
Yeah. I know there's a few times when I've been out there and I've run into, like, Leonardo DiCaprio or Sharon Stone. You know, just a few people, but you can easily get starstruck. But usually when I'm out there, I'm pretty much all business, or as far as the people I hang out with, it's a small group. You're included in that, and it's focus. You have to be focused when you have a goal. And you mentioned that right off the jump, that your mom was always on you about what your goals are, what's next, what do you have planned. And that's a value that you, if you don't have it growing up, it's hard to put it in you when you're 20-something or 30-something. It's a very difficult thing to inject in someone late in life. And it sounds like you had that put in you, whether you liked it or not. It's in you, and you've taken it with you, you know, along for the ride. So, you know, my hat's off to you on that.
Oh, and also, like, my both of my parents are from Jamaica, you know, immigrants. They worked their butt off to get here, you know, to start a life, you know, and, you know, just having a Jamaican upbringing is no joke. I don't know if you saw the movie Higher Learning, where, remember Lawrence Fishburne? He was the teacher, and he was this Jamaican guy. And I remember Omar Epps' character was like, man, what is it with this dude? You know, but Jamaicans have always been like extremely hardworking. And then I think just being an immigrant, there's a sense of like, I don't know, there's this mentality where you're always trying to, you know, achieve the next level goal.
Well, the key thing is also, like you said, you're not taking anything for granted. You know, you don't take it for granted, whether you're Jamaican or just anyone with a core set of values and that engine that makes, you know, propels them forward, you're always focused and doing your best. Doesn't matter if you're driving a cab, working at the grocery store, a student, an actor, whatever it is that you're doing, you're driven to not just do that job, but to achieve to the next level. And that's what success is built on. And that's what's going to take you, and I believe it in my heart, that's what's going to take you to the next level. But it also makes you different. Like, you stand out in a crowd, you know. You definitely do. And believe you me when I say this, you know, I handpicked you for a reason, you know, to work with me, A, because, yeah, I got love for you, but at the same time, you definitely have that magic. And when you're around people, people, you know, you make people feel better. You make people work better. Like, you brought my A game up, you know, when I was out there. So, and I've been doing the wine thing. When we did that wine event, I've been doing wine events for, you know, 15 years. But you made my day. Like, you totally made my day when we did that and brought my A game up.
That's great, man. I mean, you know, one day I hope to be a motivational speaker or something like that. I mean, because I think that's my other calling. You know, I love acting and film is my goal in life. But if I wasn't doing that, or maybe when I'm done doing that, I don't know. I think I'm definitely going to be a motivational speaker. I think I'm already am, but I'm just not, you know, like I'm type A. You know, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that 1,000%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're evolving. You're definitely evolving. Talk to us about some of the films that you've worked on and that you're currently that are currently in production.
Sure. Well, you know, I came to L.A. with the movie How Do You Know? It was directed by James L. Brooks, who created The Simpsons with Matt Groening. And, you know, James L. Brooks is huge. I mean, he directed As Good As It Gets, Terms of Endearment, lots of movies, a ton of movies, actually, with Jack Nicholson. And as a matter of fact, in this movie, Jack Nicholson's in this one with Reese Witherspoon, Paul Rudd, and Owen Wilson, who I play a teammate of. Because we play for the Washington Nationals, actually. Yeah, I did that movie called How Do You Know? And recently I shot a new movie called Divergent. Now, Divergent is going to be a good one. It's based on a young adult fictional book called Divergent. And it stars Kate Winslet, Shailene Woodley from a ton of stuff.
She was in the George Clooney movie. She's a young actress coming up in Hollywood, making a lot of noise. She was in The Descendants. That's where I know her from. Spectacular actress.
Yeah, yeah. She actually has another movie. You should see this movie called The Spectacular Now. It's a good movie. It's a Sundance winner.
Yeah, I think I've seen that on I don't know where I've seen it. I'm looking at it right now on iTunes, but it looks familiar to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good film.
Shailene, yeah, oh yeah, that's a good film. It's a great, I think it's this jury prize winner for Sundance. And what else? This is a ton of people in this.
Zoe Kravitz is in it.
Oh yeah, and I worked on my scenes that I do. I can't talk in depth about them, but I can say that I worked with Zoe and Shailene and Miles Teller, who's in a ton of stuff with Shailene. And I mean, Zoe was great. Zoe Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz's daughter. She's real cool.
So what was that like? What was it like working? Or what is it like when you work with people that you've watched growing up, that you've watched in other films? Do you ever get starstruck? Or is it all business? Or do you develop a friendship with them?
Yeah, I think more of a friendship with them. I mean, you know, I'm a kind of guy. I'm like, whoever's cool, you know, that's who I want to hang with. That's all I actually care about. I don't care if they're, you know, whatever, an A-lister or a D-lister. If you're cool, I want to hang with you.
So if I'm working craft services, you'll hang out.
You might see me with the crafty guy. <That's> It's so crazy, man. That's how I am, though. Oh, my gosh. You know, my agent might be like, Will, you know, you should, Mekhi Phifer is over there. You should probably go. Like, in a second. Not to see Mekhi. You know, I never met Mekhi, you know.
Yeah, you vibing with your man over here.
This is my man, the crafty. That's right. He's cracking me up, you know.
That's what's up.
I'll tell you a little funny story, funny enough, with Zoe. So Zoe, this is good. So about a week or two before I went to go shoot Divergent, I don't know. I've been getting into social media nowadays because it's so important for the career. And, you know, I noticed a lot of actors in the cast would like say, you know, hey, great working with so-and-so yesterday, whatever, whatever. So I said, you know what? Let me go and throw a little shout out to my castmates, you know, say what's up. So about a week before shooting, I tweet, you know, can't wait to get to set. But, you know, I think this one I might have singled out Zoe because she's so sexy. I will say that. And I might have said something like, can't wait to get to work with my, you know, castmate Zoe Kravitz next week, whatever. And I think she like either retweeted it or favorited it, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. All right. She's open. She's willing to receive the love, no doubt. I'll see her when I get to set. So I'm in Chicago and, you know,
Chi-town.
I'm in Chi-town, you know. And I think one of the PAs is taking me around set. She's like, hey, do you want to walk on set? I'd like to introduce you to some, you know, some of the people, you know, the wardrobes, the hairstyles, and maybe if we see some castmates, just to just get you acquainted before we shoot. I said, oh, yeah, great. So I'm standing on set and I see Zoe coming towards me with some, you know, an entourage or whatever. And so I tapped her and I was like, hey, Zoe, what's going on? She looks at me like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, oh, you know, it's Will Blagro. You know, we kind of hooked up online, tweeted each other, whatever. Zoe says, I don't have a Twitter page.
Oh.
I'm like, that's awkward.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. That's one of the things you have to watch out for in social media. Some celebrities aren't verified, and or sometimes celebrities are so big they have an assistant doing their tweets.
True, true. You know, in this case, I don't even think it's an assistant. I think it's some random person, right? Yeah, and she was real cool. She was real cool about it. We kind of both laughed about it because I was like, oh, that's funny because we were having a conversation, but we weren't. Okay, so great. And it's funny when I saw her when it was the day to shoot. We, you know, once again, she's real down to earth, cool chick. She gets it. I mean, she was like, "Yeah, other people have said it to her, and you know, they just don't know." I mean, like I said, I just really entered this revolution of social media, so now I know about the whole verified thing.
Yeah, you got to be careful because you were probably talking to like James Fitzgerald out of Troy, Michigan, or something.
You know. Who knows? So, yeah, so that was my story. I haven't told anybody that. That's funny.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it is you can make some good connections. Like, I've hooked up with Charlie Murphy. I've talked about this on a podcast. I hooked up with Adam Carolla off of social media. That's how I ended up getting the gig out there and hanging out with him and being a part of his organization. So pretty much a lot of the connections that I've made this past year, it's been over social media. My buddy out there, Frank, out in L.A. that I go out there to see, him and I, we met in person, but we stayed in touch. We only met one time, and I talked about this on a podcast before, where we just met in passing in Beverly Hills Starbucks for a few minutes. We spent some time together, hit up a conversation, vibed, and we stayed in touch for over 2 years just off social media, until I made my return back in L.A., and him and I have been friends since then. So wow. It's if used correctly, properly,
right?
You
right.
know, with great power comes great responsibility. And for you, it's a promotional machine because you can get the word out there. And as you know, every time you tweet something, every time you post something, you know, I'm first, if not second. I try to be as fast as I can on your stuff to give you a thumbs up.
Thank you. Yeah, man. I love the support, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So you got that. That's going to be a big film that you have coming out, Divergent. What's it about?
So Divergent is based on this utopian society where, you know, they have these five factions. These five factions determine where you are in life. They have the erudite people who are like the intelligent, skillful intellectuals. You have the abnegation people who are the peaceful, selfless individuals. They barely ever look in a mirror. They may not even own a mirror in their home. You know, they dress really like low key and not flashy in any sense. You know, those are abnegation people. And they're always constantly giving. It is always about what you give to the other person. You care nothing about yourself. Then you have the dauntless people. Who are the brave. They're almost like your military or your protectors, your police. And they, but at the same time, the dauntless people, man, they get it in. I mean, they do some risky stuff. Like I said, dauntless equals brave. And you're going to see, you know, how the dauntless get down. I'll just say that. The book is really good too. And I can't wait for the movie. The director actually directed Limitless, which is one of my kind of favorite movies because it was such a popcorn flick that just felt like it had some depth to it with Bradley Cooper. And
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie.
Yeah.
He did Neil Berger. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Berger.
Yeah, yeah. He did The Illusionist also that I liked a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So Neil is great, and, you know, we're really excited. The movie drops March 14th, 2014, and March 2014. I'm not sure. That might be March 4th. I'm not sure. So Divergent drops soon. I think I have to go do some more work on it soon. But yeah, I'm really excited about that movie. It's a trilogy too. And I'm forgetting her name. Veronica, the writer of the book Divergent, I'll just say that, came out with two more books. And the third one actually just dropped this week. And so they're going to make all three movies based on all three books.
Yeah,
and
Veronica Roth is the author of the novel.
Yeah,
and yeah, I've done some research on it, and yeah, it looks like one hell of a ride that's going to come out, which is good for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. Entertainment Weekly calls it the next Hunger Games. So
yeah, we'll I've heard see. That.
Yeah, so I'm also in a new movie that's starring Bae Ling and Warren Cole. Warren was in USA's Common Law with Michael Ealy. That was a TV series that was on for a little bit. Warren was in The Avengers. He's been in a ton of stuff. And the movie is called The Gauntlet. That currently in the festival circuit. They just had a West Coast premiere, and it's going to screen in Philadelphia next month and New York at two different film festivals. And there's some talk about distribution too. So hopefully we'll get a nice theatrical release. I play Mark, a cop in the film, also sort of a partner to Warren's character. It's a horror flick. This one's no joke, man. Apparently it's like, it's like a horror flick squared, and it's getting some really good reviews. It's about all these group of people that get trapped in this sort of like dungeon, and some secrets come out about them, and they come to find out that they have certain, I guess, not powers, but my log line is horrible right now. You check out The Gauntlet online. There's plenty of information about it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on IMDb, and you've got Dustin Gwynn in it. He's the guy. He played in 21 Jump Street. I remember back in the day. Remember that guy? And then you got, how do you pronounce her name? Bae Ling?
Bae Ling.
Yeah, she's a sexy little kitten.
Oh, man. Huh? And Bae Ling's been in a ton of stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. She's been in quite a bit. She was in The Crow with Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, Bae Ling's got a huge following.
What's that like? What was that like working with them?
Funny enough, I didn't even meet him. I work my scenes. You know, that's the thing with Hollywood, man. You'll work scenes on a day where you have all these people in your cast and you never see it. You know, but Yeah, we had different shooting days. My scenes were actually added in later on. I guess they needed to have more of a relationship with Warren's character. But
So they set you up. They set you up with the trailer. Have you got to that? Have you got to that level yet? Were you chilling in the trailer?
Luckily enough, when I work on a lot of these films, I'm grateful. Yeah. This is the stuff that spoils you. You know, I try not to get too wrapped up in it. But yeah, it's kind
of
hot.
What are some of the perks that you've enjoyed about working on set and offset? Just hanging out.
I'll tell you one thing. I did. I did this commercial a while back.
KFC.
I did a KFC spot.
All the chicken you could want.
Yeah. It's so funny. That aired this summer, and it is crazy, man. The KFC spot. It was, it's me going on a barbecue with this girl, and we go to see our friend Lewis, and my girl all of a sudden is entrapped with Lewis. She's like, I love it when a man is on the grill. It's so manly, so sexy. And keep it by, Lewis is like this like nerd with glasses, and he's like doing this corny dance. And meanwhile, Lewis ain't grilling chicken. He's got a bucket of KFC hidden underneath the grill, but he's got the fire on, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I do. This is what I do. And so it was a funny spot, man. I mean, I would be in the airport, and people, the TSA workers would be like, there he goes, that's the KFC, dude. And it would be so random, dude. Like, I'd go in the bank, the bank teller would be like, you look familiar. So it was cool. You get recognized a lot because commercials run all the time. And that one specifically ran during the NBA Finals. So there were millions of people watching.
Yeah, I remember I'd be in the gym and I'd see you pop up on a commercial. And I remember I'd tweet. I'd be like, hey, I just saw you, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you did the KFC. I think you did a Ford. Wasn't it a Ford commercial?
I did a really funny Ford commercial, man. Props to Uniworld and all those guys over at that ad agency, because they came out with a great campaign about this family called the Browns.
Was that the one with the hot chick? It was one of them you had, a beautiful sister.
I'm sure that's my wife. This is Brad. Or my pretend wife. Let me know.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Sharyon Drakes, and that's her name, and she plays Mrs. Brown. And the commercial was about this family that ever since they got the new 2013 Ford Escape, they got all brand new on everybody. So you see us pull up to the valet stand at a restaurant, and the valet guy's like, oh, can I help you out, Mr. Brown? I'm like, no, we're good. We got the automatic park assist. So, yeah, we're good. And you see the car park itself. You got the gas attendant guy who's like, hey, Mr. Brown, how you doing? You need to pump your gas for you as usual? Like, sorry, Stanley, we're good. We got that EcoBoost engine. So, hey, we don't need any more gas. We're just throwing some stuff in the garbage. Catch you later. It's like constant over and over. And the family does all the stuff, hiking, kayaking, splunking, all the stuff. And everybody's like, oh, they're brand new now because they got the new Ford Escape. So it's a good spot, man. It was a really funny campaign. And I did a commercial Spike Lee directed me in for the United Negro College Fund. And that was a crazy experience because this is a while back, but just to talk about some of the offset experiences or the perks, I remember back in New York, man, I was living in Brooklyn. And, in New York, you're trying to catch a bus. A lot of times, if you miss that bus driver, that bus is pulling off. And I'm screaming, yo, yo, yo. Maybe I'm running to an audition or something like that. And I got to catch that bus. And I remember, this in New York, you bang on the side of the door or whatever, running with the bus. That's just the way you did in New York. And I remember I'm running, huffing and puffing. Bus driver's like, nope. And he looks and he double takes at me through the doors or the window.
Yeah, he recognized
me. The guy pulls over. I'm like, thank you, man. Appreciate it. He's like, you that dude from that United Negro College Fund commercial. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, come on, brother. It's on me today.
That's what's up. Yeah, I'm thinking the perks, like the ladies, the penthouse suite. I'm thinking, the restaurant, they set the table up when it's booked. My man's so down to earth, he gets the bus ride.
That's how big dogs I am, right? I'm still riding the bus. No.
No, that's the real deal.
And New York is great too. Like, even if I, had some sort of car or something that I'm driving around, I still like getting on the train, getting on the bus. I don't want to lose my connection to, reality, what we all go through.
You're a man of the people.
Yeah. I guess there's going to be a point in time where you can't do that and you got to get chauffeur driven. But at this point in my career, I definitely don't want to lose that.
That's why I wanted to do this interview before you blew the hell up. Because then I wouldn't be able to touch you. Oh, yeah, you'll send me an email or something. Yeah, you have to get in contact with my people. No, I'm fucking.
No, man. We'll work it out. We'll find a way.
Yeah. So that's what's up. Sounds like you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, man. Just to run down the list real quick, I got a new TV show called Those Who Kill. I play Donnie Knapp on that. It's starring Chloe Sevigny from HBO's Big Love.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. She was in a movie. I know her from it was a movie called The Brown Bunny, and she did good film by I can't remember the actor's name. Vincent Gallo did that.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Well, Chloe's real cool, and she's the star of Those Who Kill. It's a new A&E series from Brian Grazer, and that drops in January on A&E.
And that's the TV show that you're going to be on.
Yeah, I play Donnie Knapp on it. I play a cop and sort of like family to Chloe's character. Family slash cop. Partners on the force.
You play a lot of cops.
I'm a cop. That's what I do. I play a lot of cops.
You're going to be Ice-T. I mean, brother, Ice-T is working. He's been working for years. I forget the name of the TV show. I don't watch a lot of TV, but.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Law & Order you're thinking about.
Yeah. So what other shows you got going?
Funny enough, I did Law & Order, too. I did that back in the year. I did Law & Order. What else? The Gossip Girl. What else? I did. I got a new TV show also coming out called Gang Related. This one's going to be good. This is a Fox series also by Brian Grazer. And it stars a bunch of people. One of the people that you may recognize is Terry O'Quinn from Lost.
Yep.
So I got a nice little scene with Terry on this new show called Gang Related. The RZA is in it. He's real cool. Met him on set. Didn't do scenes with him, but, you know, real cool dude. And, a bunch of people in that cast. And that drops on Fox in the spring. They don't have an exact premiere date yet, but look out for that. So those two shows, definitely. Those Who Kill on A&E and Gang Related on Fox. What else?
I just Oh, you're right. That's the one you posted a picture of my man from Lost, Terry Quinn. I remember that. I wanted to ask you about that because you guys look like you were cool.
Oh, Terry, great man. Terry is so cool on set. I mean, he's such a giving actor. Yeah, like sometimes you work with an actor and they just kind of might be all, you know, about their stuff and their scene, which you know, is understandable. But, you know, I met Terry and within seconds I knew, like, this was the kind of guy who, you know, he just had your back. And, he's a great guy.
John Locke. I mean, how can John Locke? I mean, amazing character. And when I saw that picture, I was like, wow. And on that note, like, one of the things that I don't know if you're into it or not, but, man, I mean, I'd love for you to keep posting pictures like that if you can get photo ops. That's also another good, you know, thing, I think, as far as on a resume, not just, I mean, everything that you've just listed to me is amazing because, it's amazing on how hard you work and how consistent you are. But it's cool for other people to see, like some of the listeners that are listening here, when they go to your website, when they go to your Twitter feed and your Facebook page and they see stuff like that, it puts them in touch with your world, and it becomes their world, and ultimately it becomes our world.
Right, totally. Well, you know, I tweet what I can. I mean, sometimes productions can be a little funny about what you put out there, and I never put out anything that's going to, you know, show anything about the storyline, of course, because I want everybody to be excited about it. I don't want, you know, people to know ahead of time. It kills it. But, you know, if it's like just a photo offset or something like that, Terry was really cool. You know, it's nice to show something to the fans and gives everybody that sort of anticipation, so they can't wait to see it.
Yeah, one of the things that I don't like on that note about how it kills it when you put too much information out, one of the things I've noticed in the past 10 years is that the theaters put out so many trailers that you don't have anything to look forward to anymore. And it kills – and another killer for that old movie magic is when they release the DVD and it's like 8 hours or 15 hours of you know, how they made it behind the scenes. You know, if I ever get into a position and I've made a couple short films, I'm not going to even put any of that stuff because I want you to wonder, how did they do this? How did they do that? I kind of miss that old movie magic. Now, today with technology, we know everything. We know it even before we get into the film.
I know. And I think, honestly, that I've always said this to friends. I think it you know, like you said, you take away the mystery of it all. Now, the audiences are so much more keen on, like, the Indiana Jones boulder that's fake.
Yeah.
That you know now, like, it doesn't matter if it hits him because he's not going to die. You know, like, we've lost a lot of the mysteriousness of, like, movie making. And you know, I mean, granted, in the beginning, I think we loved it and we ate it up because we were like, wow, that's how a movie's made. Either I want to get into that or I want to go see how they come up with these new tricks on the next one. But at this stage and with cinema, the audience is so much more privy to so much more information that they're like almost removed. And I think that's maybe another reason why reality TV is taking off, because, you know, people feel like it's not scripted television or films aren't real anymore.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to pop off. Even if it's lightly or loosely scripted, it's still the cameras on. you might catch something just way out in left field, and boom, you've got magic. That's what led me to do this podcast, the American Riddle Podcast, was because I was sick of radio. I was sick of listening to the same songs all the time. And, you know, I was, of course, my influences, Joe Rogan, Adam Carolla, Joey Diaz, but it gives me an outlet to voice my opinion. It's not scripted. Whatever we say, and we roll with it. And that's just how it's going up. And that's what I enjoy. I enjoy, you know, not knowing what's next. Even with film, I'll see a movie, I'll see a trailer, I won't read anything more about it. I won't look at it, and I just like to go in blind and see what's up. And that's what I long for. And I think that's where we have to take the audience if we're going to build that fan base, is to know that we're doing something, but don't let them know everything.
Yeah, yeah. Keep a little bit of the mystery, man.
Mystery's important.
Yeah, you're right.
So it sounds like you've got your hands full. You were just out here on the East Coast, weren't you?
I was. Well, Those Who Kill, the TV show with Chloe, they shoot that in Pittsburgh.
Gotcha.
So I was in Pittsburgh shooting that show. And,
You got your own private jet. You flying back and forth. You doing that big yet?
You know, I got to be at the Clearport, bro. Like, that's how I can't go through the metal detectors anymore. No, I wish. I mean, maybe not. You know, maybe I don't want to get, you know, like I said, I don't want to be removed to, I mean, switch it up, you know. You know, commercial jets on the weekends, private on the weekdays. I don't know.
There you go. No, I can't wait to come back to Hollywood and hang out with you again. It's been a pleasure getting to know you over the course of time and just watch your career take off and evolve. And I'm gonna keep a watchful eye on you as well as my family and friends, because we believe in everything that you're doing. And just through this conversation, you know, that seals it. You know, you're the real deal. You're authentic as it gets. Doesn't get any better than that. And with that, I think it's going to propel you to any road, any avenue that you take. I think success is, you know, will be waiting for you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. That's so.
And you know, one last shameless plug.
Yeah. Go.
Cost of a Soul. This is like my baby. I star in this feature film. It's currently playing on Showtime and the Movie Channel. I think it's the best role that I've ever done thus far. And it's a really gritty urban drama about a soldier returning home from the war in Iraq. And it's actually about two soldiers who come home from the war in Iraq and how their lives intertwine together. Cost of a Soul is like my baby. Relativity Media put it out in theaters. It's now on DVD, Netflix, iTunes, and like I said, it's actually been running on television on cable. So check out Cost of a Soul.
Yes, directed by Sean Kirkpatrick.
Yep. He's from the East Coast, born and raised in Philly, and that's where we shot the movie, in Philly, North Philly. We got a lot of support from those peeps out there, and that's my baby. Cost of a Soul is definitely my baby, and look out for that. And please, if you like what you heard on your boy Malcolm Riddle's podcast.
That's right, American Riddle.
Check out American Riddle. Also check out Will Blagrove on Facebook and Twitter. Throw me a like, throw me a follow, please. That helps the career so we can get some more stuff out and do some more podcast interviews.
Yeah, that's what's up. And people that know me, and I sent you a message prior to, just, you know, I don't have any rules or any scripts when it comes to the podcast. I have a small audience. It's very, very, very tiny. I get a lot of hits on social media for it. But at the same time, it's a work in progress. I'm about 40-something podcasts in, and it's evolving. It's a work in progress. But I want to bring the people, interesting characters, interesting people that I've met over the course of time, like yourself, and people that know me and that follow me on social media and in life, they know my passion for film and the arts and a lot of other things. And they, you know, I'm not going to give them any BS. I'm gonna bring them the real deal, and that's what we brought today. This is just an intro, because I think as time goes on, and once I get back out to L.A., you and I can sit down and do a one-on-one face-to-face, and we'll capture some of that Will Blagrove magic.
Sounds like a plan.
So yeah, thanks for spending some time with me, and as always, thanks for listening. This is Malcolm Riddle for American Riddle. Domino, motherfucker.